Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The good news, God wants you to experience pleasure. The bad news, a lot of us don't know what real pleasures are. Those who think sin opens pleasure's door have no clue what satisfaction God wants to give His children. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 Lies About God. Today, Erwin Lutzer is speaking again on lie number 9, that we must choose between God's will and our happiness.
C.S. Lewis said, "If there lurks in the modern mind the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly hope for enjoyment of it is a bad thing, if you think that," he says, "I submit that this has come to us from Immanuel Kant and the Stoics, not the Christian faith. If you consider the unblushing promise of reward promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with sex and drink and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us. Like a child, an ignorant child who makes mud pies because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea." Lewis says we are too easily pleased. Now think about it. Why do people get married? I've performed quite a few marriages. I have yet to hear a couple to say, "Well, our goal is misery. And what we'd like to do is, we're so happy single, but we would like to be miserable. Would you marry us?" You know, those kinds of people, by the way, even those who know they should not get married to a certain person, you know why they do it? They do it actually because they think that the whole pain, the pain of pulling out of the relationship, is going to be greater than the pain of going through with the marriage. Of course, they're wrong, but that's what they're thinking. Because we are so constituted that we always act to maximize our joy and to minimize our pains. And that's right. Pascal was right. That's why people commit suicide, is because they're trying to minimize their pains. They may not do it, but that is the minimization of pain. But they think that they are, because you and I are so constituted that we seek delight and happiness, and we can't help it, and we're created that way by God. That's the second point. Now we come to the third link in this chain. God has many pleasures. We are created for pleasure. Number three, our temptation is to seek lesser pleasures. Our temptation is to seek lesser pleasures. Listen to this wonderful passage of Scripture from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Just listen for a moment. "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God." You say, "Well, he sure wasn't seeking pleasure. Why in the world would he have become the leader of these rebellious Jewish people if he was seeking pleasure?" Well, let's read the rest of the text. "He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to the reward." Moses says, look, I've got two different kinds of pleasures before me. The pleasures of sin, which I could enjoy. And if you know anything about the treasures of Egypt, we had no idea until King Tut's tomb was exhumed. And you marvel at the treasures of Egypt, just absolutely overwhelming. And so Moses said, I could have the pleasures of sin. I've got those pleasures, and the pleasure of knowing God and looking forward to a future reward. And so I'm going to do that which brings me the most happiness. And he went with God and his pleasures. Our temptation is to seek the lesser pleasures. That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve looked at the fruit of the tree. She saw that it was good for food, a tree to be desired to make one wise. And so she said, I'm going for this pleasure. The problem was that it cut out many other pleasures, namely the pleasure of walking with God in the cool of the day. It cut out all of these other pleasures. She went for the wrong pleasures. Of course she desired pleasure, and that wasn't wrong, but she went for the wrong ones. Notice it says the pleasures of sin for a short time. One translation says the fleeting pleasures of sin. What can we say about these lesser pleasures? First of all, they are indeed fleeting. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the flower, its bloom is shed. Or like a snowflake on a river, a moment white, then gone forever. The fleeting pleasures of sin. Or another way that we can characterize them is that they are idolatrous, these pleasures of sin. They are idolatry because we begin to seek our happiness in them rather than God. Piper is right when he says that sin is what we do when God is not meeting our needs. Luther said that no man consciously sins, but that first of all he thinks wrongly about God. He thinks to himself, if I go my own way, I will get more happiness. God is not the means to happiness. And so he is deceived by the pleasures of sin, which are idolatrous and therefore can never finally fully satisfy. These lesser pleasures are fleeting. They are idolatrous. They promise freedom. That's their promise. They make the same promises God promises. They promise freedom, but they end in bondage. Jesus said that a servant has to serve his master, and whoever commits sin becomes the servant to sin. Sin begins to tell him what to do. Sin begins to tell him what programs to watch on television. Sin begins to tell him exactly where to go and what to do, and he is driven and he thinks he is free. It's been said accurately that sin takes you farther than you intended to go, keeps you longer than you intended to stay, and costs you more than you intended to pay. Those pleasures of sin. What is addiction? Why is it that God allows some people to be addicted? It is God's way of reminding people that sin is a bad idea. It's a bad idea. That the pleasures of sin for a season are deceptive and very much lead to bondage. So, the pleasures of sin are overrated. In fact, there's a text in the scripture that says that he who rejoices in pleasure, and it's talking about now the pleasures of this world, is dead while he rejoices and is pleasurable. Remember that story of the man who walked into a funeral parlor and saw this marvelous, beautiful casket, with, of course, the person who had died in the casket, and saw all of these flowers and saw this elaborate setup and said to himself, now that's living. That's living. He that is in pleasure is dead while he lives in that pleasure. And that's our temptation. If I could get this message across to every teenager today, because, see, the problem with teenagers, and we've all been there, and by the way, it's not just teenagers, it's folks like us who were teenagers a long time ago. The problem is, it's easy to look at the world and think we have been gypped. To say to ourselves, if only we could cast off these restraints and do our own thing. There is a story about a kite. A legend that said that the kite thought to itself, you know, if I could just get rid of that string, the string is holding me down. I'd be able to fly higher. I'd be able to fly as high as the stars. But that string is restraining me. Well, one day the string snapped. And the kite was so happy because now it could go to the stars and kiss those stars. But it discovered a law of aerodynamics that the string that holds a kite down is the string that holds it up. And I want to say to you, as I say to myself, that if we want to fly high, if we want to be the ones who are going to rise to the stars, let us remember it is best, it is inevitably best that God be in control. God must be in control. Well, notice how far we've come. God has many pleasures. We are created to seek pleasure. Our temptation is to seek the lesser pleasures, the pleasures of sin. Spiritual maturity, now we're on number four. Spiritual maturity is to substitute the greater pleasures for the lesser ones. The greater pleasures for the lesser. Now take your Bibles and turn to the 16th Psalm. Psalm 16, where David talks to us about pleasure. Psalm 16, and there are dozens of passages to which we could turn, but I have chosen Psalm 16. You'll notice how David is talking about two different kinds of gods, two different kinds of pleasures, two different kinds of lifestyles. This is such a beautiful psalm that I shall begin at verse 1. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Can that be said about us? Apart from God, we have nothing that is good. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Now notice, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. The sorrows of those who choose pleasure. And when you think of that, don't think of just idols that you dance around. No, no, no. It says in Ezekiel, these people have created idols within their own hearts. You see, we are idolaters within because we have this hidden pleasure, because we say to ourselves, I'm doing my own thing and self is on the throne of my life. That is idolatry. And those who follow those kinds of gods, their sorrow shall be multiplied. Have you ever wondered why some people are so miserable? God is just trying to get through to them. That's all. It's his way. Misery is a gift of God. It is his way of saying, why don't you give up the fight? Why don't you turn to me? Why is it that you continue to go headlong in the pursuits of pleasures that have that aftertaste, that darkness, that sense of emptiness? Why is it that you will not turn to me? The sorrows of those who go after other gods are multiplied. You know what happens during times of revival when God really begins to minister? The desire to be right with God, the desire to seek his pleasures is so overwhelming that people are finally willing to give up the lesser desires which they have held to their bosoms for years and years and years with self-justification and rationalization. Now notice, David said, as far as the false gods are concerned, he said, they are behind me, they have no part in me. So he looks back and he says, those gods are behind me. Around me I have nothing but blessings. Verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. You know, when he talks about the boundary lines, he's talking about the actual land that was divided up, you remember, when the tribes came. But of course, we can apply it. The boundaries have fallen onto me in pleasant places. God has just blessed us.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Lie That We Must Choose Between God's Will and Our Happiness, the 9th of 10 Lies About God. Next time, more on reveling in the pleasures of God. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.